The Israel Report with Rolly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolly Marks, Moed Tov, how are you?
Moedim Lesimcha, I've missed you guys, but let me tell you, I had to make up for our time apart, Howard, with a bumper edition of Whiskey Thursday, on Thursday, but in the sukkah.
Absolutely, and how did that go for you?
Well, it was terrible. You know, it's terrible when you have to try Macallan and then you have to try Lafroig, which is my personal favorite. And, you know, it's tough being me sometimes.
Yeah, it can't be easy, Rolene, you know, but our thoughts are with you at this very difficult time.
Well, if anybody wants to join me in solidarity, you are more than welcome.
Absolutely. Rolene Marks, what happens in Israel during Chol HaMoed Sukkot?
Well, today we've been rained out, thank goodness. We've all been like really, really needing the rains, but it's actually extremely festive. Those who are sucker for the work like me have been working and enjoying the quiet traffic in the morning, but a lot of the museums are free, the entrance is free, so a lot of parents take time off, they take their kids out, the parks are full, the beaches are full. There's a lot to do during Chol HaMoed Sukkot and for Pesach. But I think we're heading very, very quickly into rainy season, so outdoor activities might not be happening so much. But schools are closed and children have a whale of a time, and there are keitanot or daycare facilities for parents who aren't able to spend time with the kids, and they make sure that they are well taken care of. But it's very, very festive. Last week we had the big march in Jerusalem in solidarity with the Feast of Tabernacles. There are a lot of Christians. Yesterday we had
the most wonderful
at the Kotel.
Is that the one where people from various countries march through the streets of Jerusalem?
Absolutely,
oh,
absolutely.
It is so amazing. Absolutely amazing. And you just see thousands of people representing different countries marching through the streets, and they've got their flags and they're handing out little gifts and tokens from the country, their country of origin. I have to tell you, it's one of the most, tell our listeners, it's one of the most wonderful, wonderful experiences to be part of.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And if that wasn't enough, yesterday was Birkat Kohanim, which is absolutely
incredible.
Magnificent.
Yeah.
And the entire Kotel Plaza was filled with Kohanim and with people coming to be blessed for this most beautiful. It's actually one of my favorite blessings is the Birkat Kohanim. Forget about finding parking in Jerusalem this time of the year. But this year what we do have, which is very different in Israel than to the diaspora, is we only have one day of Sukkot at the beginning and one day at the end, and we don't have two separate days for Shemini Atzeret and Simchat Torah. We celebrate it on the same day. So it won't be unusual on Thursday to see people dancing in the street with the Torah. It's beautiful, it's festive, and it's really a great time to be here.
It really is. On a more serious note, Israeli Air Force has hit targets in Gaza after rockets were fired. We were seeing reports of code reds happening a few times over the last few days.
Yes, we had rocket or Teva Adom both in the early hours of yesterday morning, and last night we had at least three blasts of Teva Adom, and no reports of any of those rockets hitting targets or even empty fields in Israel. Rumor has it that some of them exploded within the Gaza Strip, but they were close enough to set off the sirens, and in response, IDF artillery destroyed a Hamas watchtower in the south of the Gaza Strip, and the Air Force also took out targets. And, you know, to me, this is no coincidence. You and I have been speaking quite a bit about possible reconciliation between Hamas and Fatah, and I'm very, very cynical. I'm very, very cautious whether this will happen, but I do think that this could be a flexing of the muscles from that side to say, you know what, we mean business on this side of the border.
And certainly a very, very concerning story. The U.S. embassy debate and the move, there was a comment made by Trump over the last few days saying that it's not moving to Jerusalem. What is the current status here?
Well, as you can no doubt expect, a lot of Israeli politicians have expressed their disappointment with President Donald Trump, saying that he wants to try and make peace between Israel and the Palestinians before considering moving the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And I know a lot of us got so excited during the run-up to the elections because this was one of his hot-button topics that he pushed. He said, you know, he said two things that really appealed to Israelis and to Jewish voters. He said, I'm going to tear up the deal with Iran. It's terrible. And I'm going to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And now he's backtracking it back, and he says, back a bit, and he says that before he does, he wants to see what he can do about some kind of peace agreement. He says, if we can make peace between the Palestinians and Israel, I think it'll ultimately lead to peace in the Middle East, which has to happen. And that's a very, very dangerous statement, because if you read into that statement, it's saying that there is no peace in the Middle East because it is all contingent on peace between Israel and her Palestinian neighbors. And I think it's very, very naive on the part of President Trump, because it shows that, like some of his predecessors, he doesn't understand the region as a whole. And on the other hand, I understand his trepidation about moving the embassy, because it is going to come with some very, very serious repercussions. But he said that he's going to make a decision in the not-so-distant future. And we have heard from his vice president, Mike Pence, and several others who were and may still be in the administration. You know, it's like musical chairs at the moment, Howard. You know, everybody's moving around and quitting and moving, and, oh, who can keep up? Who have said that it's definitely high on the agenda.
All right. Well, it's definitely going to be a story we're going to have to follow. Trump is using Jerusalem as a levering lever. That's a unsigned SMS. And another saying, Antifa is being trained in Syria. Are they? Raline, do we know that?
We don't know about that. I don't think that Antifa is being trained in Syria. I think we would hear serious reports on that. I think that's a rumor, and I think maybe keep it under your hat for now, because, you know, it's not substantiated. If it is, I'd like to see the evidence. But Antifa have been around for a very, very long time. In fact, Antifa were around since before the Second World War, and their mandate was to go to the fascist marches, fascist rallies, and beat up fascists, which to me is also some kind of fascist demonstration. You know, two sides don't exactly, you know, a negative and a negative don't exactly make a positive. I think they're both responsible for very, very naughty behavior.
Absolutely right. Also naughty is the school in Belgium named after a terrorist. Sorry, not in Belgium, but Belgium suspends building projects after school was named after a terrorist. Tell us about this.
Well, this is a trend that I'm liking. We saw it with a few Nordic countries, Sweden, Norway, and I think Denmark as well, suspended funds to the Palestinian Authority because those funds were being used to build buildings or name structures after terrorists. And now the Belgian government has said that they will be suspending any efforts to construct a Palestinian school or any schools after one of them was built with their aid and named in honor of Dalal Mughrabi, who was responsible for leading the massacre of 38 people, including 13 children near Tel Aviv in 1978. And also there are concerns about maps that erase the state of Israel, and also their social media pages posting pictures glorifying Palestinian terrorists. So this is a very, very good trend where Europeans, and specifically European governments, because a lot of them give to NGOs or give to the Palestinians with the hope that it's all being sent to do some good, and when the reality on the ground is something very, very different. So I think that they are waking up now thanks to organizations like Palestinian Media Watch and NGO Monitor, and they're becoming more and more aware of where their money is going, and now they're saying, you know what, if our money is going to go to these extremely dodgy projects, we're going to just withhold funding, and kol hakavod to them.
Absolutely. And as you say, I hope that is a trend that continues. Finally, Ashkelon police have detained five youth dressed as clowns. I don't know what's more. Yeah, I don't know what's more scary, the story or the clowns. What is going on with clowns?
I have to say something, okay? And I'm going to totally out myself here, people. I am terrified of clowns. I don't like spiders. I don't like heights, which is why I am only 5 foot tall, even though I do wear really, really high shoes, and I don't like clowns. And here in Israel, we have this very, very worrying phenomenon where teenagers are dressing up as clowns, and I think this is spurred on by the Stephen King movie It, and I think also by American Horror Story. The new season is Cult, where there are killer clowns on the loose, and they are scaring people in various cities across Israel, including Modi'in, where I live. And the police and the education ministry and even the defense ministry are taking this very, very seriously. You know, in Be'er Sheva last week, we had an incident where these teenage clowns actually pepper sprayed a 10-year-old little girl.
But what is this? What is this?
I don't know. It's some ridiculous prank. I mean, how would I shudder to think. I don't know who I'd be more terrified for, the clown or me, if one jumped out of the dark.
I can tell you, if a clown has to jump out of the dark in front of me, they wouldn't need to yield pepper spray or a gun or a knife. But I would drop on the spot. That would be that. For me, it's just appalling.
It's terrifying. And as a result, people are now walking around armed. And somebody said, you know, one of these clowns jumped out at me and I almost shot him.
Well, I think I would have shot myself. I think I would have shot myself first. It's just a terrible thing.
It is terrible, but you know, if you look at the situation, you know, where we find ourselves in, where we've had this wave of terror and we have teenagers who've now become teenerists, you know, nothing stops them putting on this clown disguise and committing an act of terror. And this is the worry. And the education ministry have stepped in and they said not only will children and their parents be prosecuted, and the police are taking this extremely seriously, but we also need to talk to young kids about, you know, what to do if these clowns do terrorize. I know that kids in the Modi'in are terrified to go to the park at night because of these clowns. And the police are taking this really, really seriously and detaining anybody who is stupid enough and inconsiderate enough to dress up in these hideous clown suits.
Absolutely appalling. I actually can't think of any, I suppose I can think of something worse, but I just think it is absolutely vile. And not that I ever found clowns funny, I have to be honest. I didn't find them funny at all, but I still don't understand why anybody would do that. Drolene Marks, thank you as always. We'll chat to you tomorrow, same time, same place, and we look forward to that without clowns.